Good government protects people and preserves their freedoms. Bad government represses people through deceit and ruthless abuse of power. Nothing is more dangerous to democracy than a government of corrupt men. So Lord Acton was not quite right when he famously observed that power corrupts. Just the opposite is true. Unprincipled men corrupt power. The proof is the FBI. It was the Federal Bureau of Investigation under the leadership of James Comey that launched a secretive counterintelligence operation on presidential candidate Donald Trump in July of 2016. The Bureau then deceived the FISA court to gain a warrant to spy on his campaign. All of this was done without proper legal justification and in direct violation of both the law and FBI rules. It was based entirely on a lie invented and disseminated by Hillary Clinton. Comey and the FBI knew that, but they didn't care. Clinton's outlandish lie that Trump was a Russian asset was intended to smear her political opponent and distract from her own burgeoning scandals. Declassified documents from the CIA show that she approved the devious plot on July 26, 2016. President Obama was briefed immediately at the White House about what Hillary had done, but he chose to conceal what was happening. The FBI was informed, but also decided to hide the truth. It's a crime to give a law enforcement agency false information to frame someone for a criminal offense they did not commit. Yet instead of investigating Hillary Clinton, the Bureau opened a dilating probe of Donald Trump and allowed her lie to gain traction in the mainstream media that was all too happy to feed the phony narrative to the American public. To obtain its surveillance warrant against a Trump campaign advisor, FBI lawyer Kevin Kleinsmith altered documents. Comey and others withheld exculpatory evidence and manufactured incriminating evidence. By their actions, they defrauded the FISA court. Clinton's lie that Trump was somehow colluding with the Kremlin to win the 2016 presidential election was so brazenly untrue that the FBI quickly disproved it. But instead of ending its wrongful investigation of Trump, the Bureau escalated it under false pretenses. At the same time, the FBI and Hillary's acolytes continued to leak misinformation to the gullible media. Among those who were spreading the Trump smear to the FBI and the press was Michael Sussman, a lawyer for Perkins Coie. The firm represented the Clinton campaign and was, among other things, funneling money to ex-British spy Christopher Steele, who composed a fictional dossier on Trump that also formed the basis of the FBI's investigation and the ensuing media hysteria. In short order, the Bureau discovered that it was nothing more than a collection of lies, but they buried this tidbit of information. Kleinsmith eventually pled guilty to the charge of making a false statement, and now Sussman has been indicted by a grand jury in a case brought by special counsel John Durham, who is tasked with examining the corruption underlying the Russia hoax. In this episode of The Brief, I'll talk with Congressman Devin Nunes of California, who has been instrumental in uncovering the lies and corruption that led to this partisan witch hunt.
Attorney, Fox News legal analyst, and two-time New York Times best-selling author. This is The Brief with Greg Jarrett.
By now, you've all heard me talk about MyPillow, and now Mike has done it again by introducing his new My Slippers. Mike has taken over 2 years to develop. It's designed to wear indoors, outdoors, all day long, made with MyPillow foam and impact gel to help prevent fatigue. Made with quality leather suede. For a limited time, Mike is offering 40% off his new My Slippers. The My Slippers are so comfortable, you'll want to get some for the whole family. I love mine. Go to MyPillow.com and click on the Radio Listener Square and use promo code Greg, G-R-E-G-G. You will also get deep discounts on all MyPillow products, including the Giza Dream Bed Sheets, the MyPillow Mattress Topper, and MyPillow Towel Sets, or just call 1-800-544-8939 and use promo code G-R-E-G-G. Hello and welcome to The Brief. I'm Greg Jarrett. Special Counsel John Durham is now widening his net and closing in on additional people who may be criminally indicted. In addition to the recent charge against attorney Michael Sussman, formerly of the law firm of Perkins Coie, Durham has issued a flurry of subpoenas as he continues to unravel the collusion lie conjured up by Hillary Clinton and propagated by her allies to both the FBI and the Trump-hating media. Joining me now to talk about it is Devin Nunes of California, the ranking member of the House Permanent Select Committee on Intelligence, who helped unearth critical evidence and expose the Russia hoax, what is surely the dirtiest political trick in American history. We'll also be talking with him about the Inspector General's new report identifying shocking surveillance abuses by the FBI. Congressman, thanks so much for being with us. Appreciate it.
Hey, Greg, thanks a lot. And you should not be so humble. There were very few reporters like yourself, investigative journalists, who actually did anything on this. So if it wouldn't have been for just a very few of you in those early days, it would have been just us by ourselves. So I'm always very thankful for the great investigative work that you did also.
Well, thank you very much for saying so. So let's begin now with Special Counsel John Durham, a new indictment and a cascade of subpoenas that have been issued. Congressman, where do you see this going? And is it where you think it should go?
Well, I've been kind of a lone man in the wilderness now for a while. I've always stated from the beginning that I liked where Durham was going. And, you know, there was a lot of criticism out there in the, you know, not just by the left, but also by the right, who were saying, he's not going to do anything. But I saw very early on that this was a serious investigation. And largely the telling sign, you'll appreciate this, Greg, is there were no leaks. So unlike the Mueller fiasco, where the, you know, every day was a new leak with a new fake narrative, a new phony story, those guys were leaking everywhere to the fake news outlets. With Durham, you get crickets, absolutely zero. And the only thing that you've actually seen leaked so far, for those folks who pay close attention, it's been the people that are in trouble going to their favorite fake news places like the Bezos Washington Post and the New York Times and saying, you know, and so they get kind of the most favorable story out as possible. I mean, the great example of that is that before the Sussman indictment, the day before, they came out with the story, nothing burger, it pled down, it's just a zero. And then, of course, it comes out the next day and it's a 27-page indictment, which is a really scary indictment, quite frankly, because I think when Congress wrote the law and implemented the law about lying to the FBI and it was implemented by the Justice Department, I don't think any of us ever thought we'd have American citizens running around going into their, you know, FBI field office and lying about their fellow American citizens to frame them. So, right. I mean, clearly it's within the statute. And in fact, it's so it's so sinister that I don't think anybody ever thought that, you know, Americans would do this to your fellow American citizens. And so it's probably the worst example of lying to the FBI that I've seen in my lifetime.
Yeah. Let's dig a little bit more into it. We know, and you certainly know this, from declassified documents that in the summer of 2016, the CIA gained reliable intelligence that it was Hillary Clinton who approved the plan to smear Donald Trump with false claims that he was colluding with Russia. In fact, she okayed the plot, the date was July 26th, to disseminate those fictional claims to the FBI and then to the media. Now, as you point out correctly, under the law, giving the FBI knowingly false information, that's a crime. And in fact, then CIA Director John Brennan knew that it was a crime, which is why he sent a criminal referral to James Comey at the FBI, requesting that Hillary Clinton be investigated for potential crimes. What did James Comey do? He buried it. And later, when he was questioned by the Senate Judiciary Committee, he feigned complete amnesia. Oh, golly gee, I don't remember that. Congressman, is it frustrating to you that Hillary Clinton continued to get away with criminal behavior in both her email scandal and inventing the collusion hoax, feeding it to the FBI? And by the way, every time she engaged in what I consider to be illegal conduct, each time it was James Comey who saved her.
Yes, and we believed back, you know, at the beginning of this investigation, and we built a circumstantial case for it, that indeed it was because of the Clinton email server scandal and them probably knowing that the Russians or the Chinese or somebody or some other bad state actor or non-state actor probably had these files, and they were scared to death that they would come out. Now, I actually believe that we've never even seen the worst of the emails, right? The ones that were destroyed. But right, it's likely somebody has them. It's likely the Clinton campaign knew that somebody had them. And that's why when you go back to at late 2015, when this kind of hoax started, it originally started as, let's try to tie Trump with dirty business dealings.
Right.
And then later, I think when they found out that, okay, Comey's doing an investigation, this could go the wrong way, oh, crap, we have to change this. And then at one point, it flipped from kind of Russian or just from business guys that were Russian, possibly, and gangster type ties, oligarch ties, things like that. And it switched to, oh, Trump, and I'm paraphrasing, Trump is Putin's best friend. And that became the story. And probably they flipped that March, April timeframe of 2016. Then, of course, we know the day after 4th of July, Comey comes out, exonerates Clinton. But those emails had become, you know, a few emails had been leaking, not from the Clinton server, but other emails. And so I think they took that plug and play program and said, OK, whew, we got off. Comey let us off. But oh, crap, there's other emails coming out. We better do something. Let's get this rolling. And that's when they started with their propaganda. You had the Clinton campaign out there publicizing it everywhere. This is in 2016. This stuff is out there to see. This is why we say there's an easy circumstantial case here to build that these guys concocted the whole damn thing. And that's what we believe from the beginning, because, you know, as you know, somebody who has been involved in Republican politics, when I actually stayed out, despite what the fake news will say, Greg, I actually stayed out of the Republican primaries. Back in the day, I didn't endorse Donald Trump. I wasn't, you know, what I was doing, because I was chairman of the House Intelligence Committee. And what I said at the time was to all of my, you know, I knew a lot of the people who were running. If you remember, there were like 15, 16 candidates, a lot of great right, candidates. And I said, hey, I'm the chairman of the House Intelligence Committee. Whoever gets through the primary here, I will be ready to brief you. So I'm going to stay out of this thing and I'm going to be ready to brief you. So I actually I was at a couple Trump, when Trump came to Washington, you know, speak arounds with all the Republican members and maybe the summertime of, you know, right before the convention. That was the first time I ever had any interaction with Donald Trump. But then after the convention, I did exactly what I said, is that was I just like I did for Romney and McCain and Bush. I did whatever I could as a loyal guy to try to help the party and try to keep make sure that Hillary Clinton wasn't the president of the United States. So knowing that, if you remember, Donald Trump didn't have a lot of support from the Republican Party. In fact, after the convention, I was one of the few out there that were actually trying to help, which is ironic, just because, you know, you know, nowadays, you know, every Republican acts like they supported Donald Trump, but the reality was there was very few people. So
that's right.
You couple that fact that when I see that Trump basically has nobody on his campaign, no one helping. And then let me tell you one other important point. In the spring of 16, I was so pissed off. I don't know if you can say pissed off on your show. I apologize for that. But
we say it all.
Okay. So I was so pissed off because, you know, Putin was having his way with us around the world. Obama was so weak with Putin that I finally got fed up. And I usually am a fairly quiet guy. I don't like to make a lot of statements, but I came out and publicly said in April of 2016, I had enough. And I said, look, this is the biggest intelligence failure since 9/11. Our failure to understand Putin's plans and intentions, right? He's going into Ukraine, Crimea, Syria, Libya. We're giving him money. We're giving the Obama administration money. They're refusing to spend it. I mean, you almost have to think, I mean, God, were they in bed with him? I was so frustrated with it. So take that fact, along with the fact that there's really nobody, the Trump campaign has very few people helping him. So when this stuff rolls out, the Russia nonsense in July and August, September, October, it's kind of like, this is a joke, right? Like and in fact, you saw a lot of B-grade reporters, I would say, right, that wrote about this. But if you notice, you didn't get the really top-end fake news guys to write about this because they knew it was crap. They knew anybody who'd ever read any intelligence report knows that when you read that dossier, it's toilet paper. It's a joke. Nobody who's ever been around intelligence knows that. So all the fake news people knew that. So they knew they were just running a narrative. And it was laughable. And look, the American people didn't buy it because Donald Trump won a resounding victory over Hillary Clinton. So nobody bought it. And then, you know, and I didn't even know the dossier existed. And then, of course, the rest is history. But it was easy to build a circumstantial case once you go back and look. Now what Durham is doing, because I know that's what you want to talk about, I mean, he's able to go in and get phone calls and emails and all the things that we were unable to do because they blocked us at every point, right, you know, during our investigation. But in the large part, our team got it, you know, basically nailed it. And so did you. And so did many other people.
Yeah, I mean, I look back, I remember the first time I read the dossier and I laughed out loud. I mean, continuously, right, throughout the entire dossier. I mean, it was like it was as if it was written by some junior high school, you know, wannabe fiction writer.
Yeah.
And it was so obviously phony that it was actually funny. And I've read it so many times since, and I never fail to laugh. I mean, it's funny
stuff.
You're
exactly right. I mean, when we got briefed on this, so everybody, we're like the biggest idiots in town, right? Because the only people who don't have this dossier are the Republicans and kind of the whatever is of the independent conservative media and, of course, Trump. Everybody else has it. Every fake news outlet, every Democrat, every never Trump Republican like John McCain. I mean, right, everybody has this damn thing, right? So when I first get briefed on this, it's pretty scandalous. And, you know, and I can remember, you know, asking these guys, wait a second, what is this? What is this? What is this in here? What's the backup for this? And of course, they didn't have anything. This was when it was classified in the ICA. Remember that?
Yeah.
And then so we get briefed on this. And I mean, look, it's really scandalous. I mean, P tapes and prostitutes. I mean, it's right, unbelievable. Well, I don't know where the hell they're getting it from. Right. When I get briefed on this. And then, of course, I don't know, 2 or 3 days later, BuzzFeed publishes all the Steele dossiers. And of right, course, Lee Smith, the great author, investigative journalist, he digs up other dossiers that had been out there by, you know, all, you know, former Clinton people. They were all spinning and carrying around dossiers everywhere.
Right.
When I finally read it, I'm like, is this a joke? Like, we just got briefed by the FBI, CIA that somehow this is relevant. There was no relevance in there. There was no evidence in that. It would take the FBI, you know, maybe 4 hours to be able to prove that or not prove it. So that's like the major crime here. It's not just that this was a narrative that the Clinton campaign spun up. It's also that the FBI and that they spied on Carter Page and the Republican Party, quite frankly, because of that. That's a scandal, in a large conspiracy scandal. But then it's everything that happened after the fact, that, you know, how the FBI was involved in this, when they got involved. They had to know by by September, October, November that this was all crap. They clearly knew the Alpha Bank thing was crap, but you had high level people, very few of them, because it was a tight knit group that could, because they used counterintelligence. I have to always, we have to go back to that. They used a special carve out under the law in order to keep the, you know, it's the part of the law, Greg, that we try to go out and track down, you know, Chinese spies or Russian spies. So, you know, you got to keep it because, you know, it's possible you could have a mole within the FBI or the CIA, and it's happened throughout history. So there's a reason why you would have to run a tight-knit investigation. The only thing with this part was, is these were the moles. The guys running the investigation were the very ones who were frauding the government. The very, you know, all those people in that circle, in that loop, were essentially the equivalent of, you know, might as well be Russian or Chinese spies because they weaponized the intelligence agency against American citizens, specifically their political enemies. And look, it's only gotten, they've normalized all this. Like people, like right now, I think a broader number of people are starting to see what the DOJ now has the balls to go do. And, you know, so much so that now you can't even go to your school board and complain about how, you know, what your, is in your kid's curriculum, whether or not the COVID rules are appropriate. Now you've got an attorney general who has a license to be completely corrupt. Things that we never would have imagined 5 years ago are now normalized. And that's what happens when you weaponize, in all countries, you weaponize your intelligence agencies and your justice departments against your own citizens. It's how republics fall. And that's sadly where we're at right now.
Yeah. If you're a parent who dares to complain before a school board, you know, you're, you know, going to be classified as a domestic terrorist, and Merrick Garland, the attorney general, is going to sic the FBI on you. It's insanity. But look,
it's total insanity, Greg. And just one other point. It's not just, it's happened, you know, you take all this, you know, white supremacy issue that Garland's talking about. Don't forget, the also talking about that was our Department of Defense, our Secretary of Defense, General Milley, the Chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff. So they're all talking about this too, like as if this is like our biggest problem in the United States of America. And meanwhile, you know, we end up losing 13 warriors in Afghanistan because they're running around spinning up political narratives, essentially trying to continue to take out conservatives in this country. Yeah. I mean, that's really what this is about. When you hear the Department of Defense talking about white supremacy and it being a problem, blah, 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 they have no evidence of that. And the fact that they're spending time on that, so now you have a weaponized Justice Department, weaponized intelligence agency, and a weaponized military. That is the quintessential definition of how republics fail.
Well said. You know, top lawyer, this 27-page criminal indictment that Durham has come up with, it's very revealing. It's very specific, times, dates, places. He seems to have the goods, and now he's issued more subpoenas. And the top lawyers of the law firm of Perkins Coie seem to have been the point people for the phony collusion narrative, feeding it to the FBI while allegedly lying about who they were doing it on behalf of, Hillary Clinton, and also spreading it to the media. And of course, they funneled money to Christopher Steele, who fabricated the anti-Trump dossier you and I have been talking about. That was given to the FBI and the press to damage Trump. But what I found interesting is at the center of this illicit, if not illegal, scheme is Hillary Clinton's close advisor, a guy by the name of Jake Sullivan. Who is he? Well, he's now President Joe Biden's national security advisor. So let's think about that for a moment. The person who's currently reviewing top secret national security matters for the president is the very same guy who helped spread knowingly false information about national security. So, Congressman, worrisome is that? And how culpable is Jake Sullivan?
It's worse than that, Greg. I've said from the very beginning, I think we identified close to a dozen people who have essentially failed upward. So if you were involved, you were in the Obama administration and you were involved in the Russia hoax, the P-tape hoax, you basically got, every one of those people got promoted. Every single one of them. So Yeah, Sullivan is of concern because he's in that position. Remember where General Flynn was, which is why the cabal knew they had to get rid of Flynn, because they knew Flynn could smoke out the rats. So that's really the number one person that represents the president of the United States throughout what we just talked about, the military, the Justice Department, all the national security apparatus. So, and look, when you put people like that, I just like Sullivan, the guy's, you know, not qualified. And if you look
not
at the
remotely
debacle,
qualified, not even qualified. Close. I mean,
well, just the fact that back in 2016, he was sending out this Russia hoax crap that they concocted. And then also, we don't forget the fact that they went out and found either phony Russians or real Russians to essentially corroborate the lies that they were spreading. Let's not forget that. So this is a hoaxer of all hoaxers this is a scandalous dude that's now in the top position in the Biden administration. And look, when that happens, it's all look, I say this many times, it's all fun and games when, you know, that look, it's we know the left controls 95% of the content that is created by so-called journalism in this country, 95% at least. And then when you run that through the Googles, the YouTubes, the Facebooks and all of that, you know, what average Americans see that don't really get involved in politics, it's 99.9% is crap. That's why you still have half of Americans who think that Donald Trump did something with Russia, because they don't even have a chance right to get the real information. Well, look, it's all fun and games when you control all that in a country, right? Like Putin does in Russia, like the Chinese Communist Party does in China. They know a lot about propaganda and how to weaponize the news media and how to make it work for yourself and build out your narratives. Well, and it's happened here in the United States. But guess what? When you live in your bubble inside the United States, you can get away with it, right? But when you go to places like Afghanistan, the you know what gets real and the you know what hits the fan, and you end up with a debacle and a disaster. And Sullivan is directly responsible for this, along with the Secretary of Defense. Those two guys are the ones that are responsible. So you go from 5 years ago spinning up, you know, crazy ass stories. You've done tremendous damage because of stories you spun up for 5 years, and now you end up in one of the top positions. You know, he's basically at the pinnacle of where anyone can get to in the national security apparatus. Right. And he was involved in the origination of this garbage back in 2015 and 16. It's really frightening. And look, there's a whole bunch of other ones that have also been promoted. Yeah. But he's culpable, Greg, because, you know, there are tweets and press releases and right statements and interviews that he's in.
Yeah, I'm sure he would say, oh, gosh, I didn't know it was a lie. Well, you'd have to be a moron not to know that it was a lie. Of course, he knew it was a lie. Guys like Jake Sullivan prove the Peter principle, that in a hierarchy, people rise to the highest level of their own incompetence. And there is nobody more incompetent than Jake Sullivan, and in my judgment, corrupt. But there are others. Top FBI officials like James Comey, Andrew McCabe, Peter Strzok, and others, they too deliberately exploited the big lie, collusion, as a pretext to spy on the Trump campaign and pursue, without proper justification, their damaging investigation of Trump, even though they had no credible evidence to support it. And in fact, just the opposite. They learned early on that it was all a lie, and they concealed that information. That's what's so insidious. They concealed it and hid that information while escalating the investigation of Donald Trump. In your mind, shouldn't people like Comey, Andrew McCabe, Peter Strzok, shouldn't they too be held accountable under the law?
So, I mean, obviously everyone should, Greg, but I think what you have to apply here is just common sense. Like we've already discussed, a little earlier, when you read that dossier, there's no possible way that anyone who has been involved, look, I, I've, I say only, I've only been involved in this in kind of reading intelligence reports for a little over a decade now, right? But I guess this is my 11th year. I guess before that, you can say, you know, I was briefed, you know, spent quite a bit of time overseas in Iraq and Afghanistan, that sort of thing, in my congressional capacity. But even me, who has really not been formally trained, right? I haven't been I didn't go through the FBI school or CIA courses and move my way up. I didn't receive that training. But even I know that dossier is a joke.
Right.
So it's not. So why would the highest levels of our intelligence agency insist on putting that into an intelligence report and briefing it to the highest level of the United States Congress, the Gang of Eight that I was a part of back in January of 17? It wasn't believable then. It's not believable now. So to try to spin away, Comey can say, I don't remember, 5,000 more times. But there's no plausible explanation that he was not fully aware that this was a complete and total scam and he had to have been involved in it.
Yeah. Let's talk now about the many lies the FBI fed to the FISA court judges. The FBI had evidence that Carter Page, an advisor to the Trump campaign, was not a Russian spy. In fact, they had evidence that he was just the opposite. He was a U.S. intelligence asset who had been helping our own government. Yet the FBI hid that exculpatory evidence, and they told the FISA court that they had probable cause that Carter Page was a Russian spy. Now, fast forward. It was the Justice Department Inspector General, Michael Horowitz, who, first caught on to these lies. And some time ago, he issued a scathing report about the FBI's misconduct in all of this. And in fact, so alarmed was Horowitz that he continued to dig. And now his latest report just came out. He looked, Congressman, at a sampling of 29 other wiretap applications, and he found an astonishing 209 errors, many of them quite serious. And on top of that, another 209 other examples where there was no support for the factual assertions against the targeted innocent individuals. In other words, the FBI was just making stuff up. They're breaking every rule in the book to spy on people and violating their constitutional rights. So what does that tell you about the FBI?
Well, I don't want to, it's your show and I don't want to correct you, but I just want to make sure for the record that the reason, and I owe this to my colleagues and my great team, the reason that we ended up with Horowitz was because of the work that we had done. We were the ones who uncovered that they had lied to the FISA court. It was great people like Kash Patel, who was our lead investigator, right. Trey Gowdy, former member of Congress. We were the ones who actually proved that point, plain and simple. And then if you remember at the time, you had all the top level of government, including the current FBI director, who said, I'm paraphrasing, but it was scandalous. It was going to be destructive that Republicans were releasing this information.
Right.
And they essentially explain it away as if there's nothing there. And, the more we dug, the more lies we found. And then finally, you had what at the time we assumed was going to be, we had built a pretty damn good case already. I mean, we had them dead to rights that they had lied to the FISA court. And then what they did in a slick move, Rosenstein, because remember, Sessions had been recused at the time, the actual head of the Justice Department, the Attorney General, he had recused himself. So Rosenstein pulled kind of the swampiest move that you see a lot of times, which is, oh, we're going to take away from you, Congress, and say there's an investigation going on. So that was also a cover up in and of itself, right? Mm-hmm. It was an obstruction of a congressional investigation. We assumed that when Horowitz got involved, in fact, I never even met with Horowitz. We sent him all the information. Some of my other colleagues did from the other pertinent committees. But I just made the assumption that Horowitz is going to bury this. And look, it took him a really long time to get to the bottom of this. At the end of the day, there were some things that weren't right. But all in all, I do think that he deserves a lot of credit, Greg. But I just wanted to make sure that people understand that that was actually our investigation that that uncovered that.
Oh, it was.
And he just built on top of it. And now, as he continues to investigate, I think what you're finding is that the process is flawed and broken. And now, you know, the question is, how do you fix it? Because a lot of people say, well, just get rid of it. Well, if you get rid of it, then you go back to what we had pre-reforms. We ended up with the FISA court because we had massive abuses back in the 60s and 70s, actually spying on Martin Luther King,
right,
by Democrats, by the way. And that came about after the Church Commission, the Frank Church Commissions, in the mid-70s. That's what actually created the House Intelligence Committee, the FISA courts, and all of that. So there's not a simple solution right now to the problem, because I know a lot of people on the right say, well, we got to get rid of it. Well, you get rid of it, can you imagine having Attorney General Garland in charge of all the intelligence apparatus? Hell, they'd make it look like child's play what these cats did. I mean, it would be unbelievable. We'd go back in the 1960s. They could just open investigations on all of us. So you can't really get rid of it. So you have to reform it. And how do you reform it when currently you have an entire Democratic Party who is implicated in the destruction of our intelligence committee, the corruption of our intelligence committee, right? I mean, these are the Democratic Party, all their top political people, including Obama, including Biden, including Jake Sullivan. I mean, all these characters are involved in this. All the hierarchy of the FBI, including the current FBI. Remember, Ray accused us of trying to, of weakening national security. So, he's still in power. So he's still in charge. So, how do you get from where we are now to fixing the problem? I think the only solution is going to be Durham has to be able to continue this investigation and unravel this whole thing, and people have to pay the price. If they don't pay the price, you're going to end up in an America where you've got more and more people that are fleeing places like California and Manhattan to places like Idaho and Texas. And you're going to have this strange country where you've got essentially people who are socialist communists living in these cities. And then you're going to have all the people who want to live in freedom out in the, kind of the rural and vast expanses of America, who aren't going to trust, quite frankly, the Department of Justice and the FBI. I don't have any polling on this, Greg, but I would venture to say that if you polled likely Republican voters right now, you would find that they probably want to disband the FBI. You would not have found that 5 years ago. You would have had 90% support within the Republican Party. And I bet today it's less than half. And that's just a gut feeling of mine.
Yeah, it was a couple of years ago, maybe more, 3 years ago, that I said, you know what? We need to start all over again. Get rid of the FBI and start from scratch a new agency with completely different rules and new leadership. And, I got criticized for months over that. But I think people have come to realize that that is merited, because James Comey ruined the FBI. He is, in my judgment, Congressman, one of the most corrupt, dishonest people I've ever seen in public life. He set the standard for the FBI, which was the rule doesn't apply to us. We're a power unto ourselves. We're accountable to no one. We can ignore the law with impunity and violate people's rights. And that is James Comey's ugly legacy. He belongs behind bars, again, in my opinion. There was a criminal referral against him. And, he's always managed to skate. And what's tragic is that under his successor, Christopher Wray, nothing has changed. Wray is nothing more than James Comey in a different suit. I have no confidence in the current FBI's director to institute the reforms he claims he's going to make and has made under the FISA court system. It's not happening, and Horowitz's report proves it.
Well, look, what you'd like to see, out of the FBI, the top levels here, the so-called independent actors that are out there, right? The people, that's the whole idea with a 10-year FBI director, is that they're supposed to be non-political. And you would think, this is nothing that I haven't said publicly in front of Ray. Ray testified finally before the Congress earlier this year. What he really ought to do, he's in a position where he could actually help things out. And, you know, instead of saying, well, there's investigations going on, he ought to come forward and say, look, what happened back in 2017 and 18, how we treated the Republicans on the committee, the investigation that you guys did. Thank you for that. You know, we welcome congressional oversight. He should say, I made statements at the time that were wrong and inappropriate. I apologize for that. I apologize to the Congress. I apologize to the American people. And I'm going to do better. But you don't hear him say that. You know, it's the old adage that, you know, you have to admit you have a problem, right, before you can solve the problem. And, you know, they just haven't admitted it yet. And so and all of these bad actors, if you go back, you know, from Mueller to Comey to everything that happened in 15 and 16 and all through 17 and 18, and, you know, even to today, it culminates where you have an attorney general of the United States who's now weaponized the FBI,
right,
against parents in this country. I mean, this is frightening. I mean, it's every one of these things builds on the other. And this is another area where Ray could come out and say, look, Attorney General, I ain't doing this. I ain't doing this.
We have no jurisdiction.
We have no jurisdiction. You know, look, we'll follow up on real threats that people make and that sort of thing. If the, you know, obviously, you know, you can't go in and threaten people with bodily harm. But, you know, this whole idea that you can't go to school board meetings or, you know, public meetings where you're supposed to go, that's part of having a legislative process in this country and a democratic process, is where you can go and explain your grievances to the school board members that you elect. I served 6 years on a school board. You know, and now look, that doesn't mean that it's okay to track people down, harass people and that sort of thing. That's a different issue. But Garland didn't make that case. Garland gave no evidence of what the hell, Ray and the FBI G-men are supposed to be out investigating. You know, if he's got some evidence of some parents that did something, great. Well, show us what it is. So look, I know that's not what I came on to talk about today, but I think it's an important point to make how far we've fallen and how far we have to go.
Yeah, I wrote a column on this very matter right after Garland came out with his memo order sicking the FBI on parents who, you know, had the audacity to complain about curricula. And I would invite, you know, our listeners to take a look at that email. It makes many of the same arguments. At any rate, my final question here, and I'm going to try to change your mind a little bit, okay?
Okay.
And it's about getting rid of the FISA court. Look, I have made the argument for 3 years that the FISA court ought to be disbanded. I know you're against that notion, but my argument is as follows. If something is broken, you try to fix it. If after you try to fix it, it still doesn't work, it's time to toss it out. And the Wall Street Journal came out with an editorial a couple of days ago, and it makes the argument that it was always a mistake to create the FISA court, bringing Article III judges into the intelligence collection business. And the journal writes, and I'll quote here, Congress should abolish the FISA court and return authority to the law enforcement leaders making surveillance decisions, then hold them accountable, including jail time for abuses. You know, you just go back to the old-fashioned way. Based on probable cause, you got to go to a federal judge if you want a surveillance warrant. And, you know, you have to demonstrate that you have probable cause. Show me the proof. The problem with the FISA court is they just accept everything in the FBI and people, corrupt people like Comey and McCabe and others. They just accept it on face value. They don't even hold a hearing. They just rubber stamp it. So isn't there some merit to starting all over again by first getting rid of the FISA court?
Well, I actually agree with you that we need a new system. So I think it's more about tactics and how you get there. So clearly what we have today is not working. But what my point is, Greg, if we were just today, I mean, look, Garland and company would love nothing more than abolish the FISA court, because with all the puppets that they have there, I mean, hell, they'd have all of us under wiretap. right? So, I mean, they would just, I mean, that's what they did in the 60s. So that's right. what they would end up doing again. That's my only point. It's not that we need a new system. It's that if you let these guys in charge and you do what the Wall Street Journal says, put them back in charge. Well, how are you going to pass a law through the Congress? I agree. There needs to be major jail time. That's one of the problems that, and you and I discussed this many times over the last 5 years. There was no specific law on what happens if FBI officials and intelligence officials lie to this court. It wasn't like a simple, there was not a simple process. Right. So how do you put that process in place? I agree. Look, it's Congress needs to take some of its responsibility back. But right now, when you have a Congress, can you imagine if you had the characters that I have to deal with on the House Intelligence Committee? They control the gavel. It's not me. They would be the ones who would controlling this whole process. So you take Garland and company, supplemented by the Intelligence Committee Democrats, who are essentially socialist communists. They would love to go back to that. So look, there's no perfect fix, but I can tell you right now, we just can't abolish it because you would put people even worse than the FISA court in charge. And I mean, hell, all of us would be wiretapped. Don't forget, Greg, they've already proven they'll do it.
Yeah.
They've already proven they'll do it. They targeted me, my phone records, my staff's phone records, and they released them publicly. Mm-hmm. Democrats did that in the legislative body. So, I mean, hell, they'd go after every reporter and investigative journalist they don't like in a nanosecond. So I don't know. There's not a, we don't disagree. I think we agree. There's just no easy solution.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. Congressman Devin Nunes of California, ranking member of the House Intelligence Committee, thank you very much for joining us today, and especially all the hard work you put in uncovering the Russia hoax, which is, as I have written many times before, the greatest mass delusion in American political history, and certainly the dirtiest political trick. Thank you so much for being with us.
Well, Greg, thanks for having me. And of course, like I said, you were a warrior in all this, and there was very few of you who stood up at the time. And I always will be very thankful for what you and just a few others were willing to do, which was real investigative journalism.
Thank you, Congressman. Appreciate it. And that's The Brief. I'm Greg Jarrett. Thanks for listening.